Purgatory is the purification we must undergo if the remnants of sin cling to us after death, in order to enter heaven. Setting aside the whole history of polemics between Catholics and Protestants on this subject, one must admit that it has a certain plausibility. We know that when we are to meet someone we revere and respect, we take care to make sure we look immaculate, and would be mortified to be seen by such a person when we are dirty and disheveled. How much more would this be the case with God, when angels alone cause people in Scripture to fret at their unworthiness and fall down as if dead? Moving on to divine revelation, we see this idea confirmed in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 21, we read, "Nothing unclean shall enter heaven." And how many of us can say that we are clean when we die? In the Old Testament, in 2 Maccabees chapter 12, we read that they, quote, "turned to prayer beseeching that the sin which had been committed might be wholly blotted out. Therefore he made atonement for the dead, that they might be delivered from their sin," unquote. Even for a Protestant who doesn't accept the books of Maccabees as scriptural, it is a compelling piece of historical evidence at least that the Jews very close to the time of Christ were in the habit of praying for the dead, which would have no point if there were not some state in which further purification happened after death. Our Lord's own words confirm this idea in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 12, we read, quote, "And whoever says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come," unquote. In Matthew chapter 5, we read, quote, "Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny," unquote. What is this forgiveness in the age to come, or the temporary prison after death, if not a state of purification from sin? St. Paul too tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, quote, "Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire," unquote. This passage is perhaps the hardest to explain except by the admission of the doctrine of purgatory. What other explanation could be given for suffering loss after death, but still being saved through fire? The existence of purgatory helps explain why we believe our prayers for the dead are fruitful. If the result after death were either immediate entrance into heaven or condemnation into hell, both of which are eternal, to pray for someone would be completely pointless. And yet the early Christians were in the habit of praying for the dead from the very beginning. Consider again the reality of the church as the body of Christ. We are all members, and we affect each other by our charity and by our sin. But the one church is not just the church militant on earth. We are fellow members also with those in the church triumphant in heaven and the church suffering in purgatory. And these are not three churches, but the one church. So just as my prayers and good works can aid my fellow earthly members of the church, so too can they aid those in the church suffering, since they have not yet attained paradise. It is very unbiblical to claim that this life and the next are so separated and closed off to each other. This practice of praying for the dead is related to another doctrine, that of indulgences. An indulgence is a remission of the temporal punishment due to sin, whose guilt has already been forgiven. This is done through the Church's help when she dispenses and applies with authority the treasure of the satisfactions won by Christ and the saints. Notice that indulgences are not forgiveness of sins, but they are applied to those who have been absolved already in confession, and who meet certain other conditions, such as receiving Holy Communion, performing some good work, and being detached from sin. The power of binding and loosing which Christ gave to the apostles refers not only to the forgiveness of sins, but also the authority to apply the infinite merits Christ won for us, in order to aid the faithful. The Catechism tells us that the Church intervenes in favor of individual Christians and opens for them the treasury of the merits of Christ and the saints to obtain from the Father of Mercies the remission of temporal punishment due for their sins. The phrase temporal punishment due to sin points to the fact that some evil remains even after forgiveness. Consider that even after David was forgiven for his adultery, he still suffered loss and other consequences due to that sin. And the effects of original sin remain even after we are forgiven in baptism. Or consider the analogy of the hole that remains in a wall even after a nail is removed. The sin may be removed, but it has its effects nonetheless. These effects, thankfully, are not imputed to us as guilt, but they are damages we must remedy through suffering or works of charity in this life or the next. Again, since we are members of the body of Christ and can pray for each other, it is a consoling thought to consider that our works of charity and our prayers can aid even those who have already died.